testify of that this morning. Yes, He is Lord, and He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Oh, every knee shall bow, and every tongue this morning. Oh, He's, yes, He's my Lord. Oh, He's my Lord. And He has risen from the dead. He's my Lord. Oh, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing it that way once again. He's my Lord. Oh, yes, He.
Raining, the roof is leaking, it just doesn't matter. We can always just thank Him. Amen. Just help me sing this.
Thank You, Jesus, for all the grace that You have given us. Although I can't repay, well, from my heart I would like to You have given us. Although I can't repay, oh, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank You. And we just want to say, oh, thanks, Lord, I give You thanks for all You've done. Church, say thanks, oh.
privilege to be back. Sure, I'm happy to have Sister Stephanie back on the piano. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Thankful that God has restored her enough to be back and helping us out here at church. We sure appreciate our musicians and everybody that helps out with the service. God bless you. On Thursday, June the 27th, we'll be having our youth Bible study for this month. It's from 7:30 to 9:30 for ages 10 to 30, never married. Look forward to that. There's quite a few lost and found items downstairs on the kitchen counter and the basement there, if you could check through that. There's a couple checkbooks, a couple wallets. I'm just trying to incentivize you guys to go down and look through that. I'll try to remind you at the end of the service, but there are quite a few things. And if you could look at that, that'll help Sister Christy and everybody else out who has to package that and get it back and forth. So sure appreciate you looking down there. Have a testimony this morning. Brother Robert Marrero's mother was not expected to survive a surgery she had last week. She woke up after the surgery, and the doctors asked if she was doing okay. She told them, "I serve Jesus Christ. She is back home and doing well now." Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Unspoken prayer request here for Sister Patty Hansel. And please remember Brother Ben and Sister Crystal Wright in prayers. They're traveling to New Mexico for special meetings at Brother Manuel Salazar's church. Brother Yarbrough is not feeling well. I just want to remember him in prayer. Sister Becky Bird asked for a prayer for her dad. "Please pray for my dad. He will be having hernia surgery on Tuesday. This is the second hernia surgery he has had recently, and my prayer is that his strength and energy return so that he can fully..." I'm sorry, sister. There must have been another side to that. "So that he can fully feel back to normal. Also, an unspoken prayer request for my mom. I thank the Lord for healing them both." Amen. Amen. Appreciate that positive confession. Amen. God's more than able. If you have an unknown need you'd like to make known to the Lord with an uplifted hand, you just make that known to him. Amen. God bless you, Brother Layton. Would you just come and take these needs to the Lord?
Father, as we approach that throne of grace, Lord, in mercy, asking for mercy this morning for these requests. But we want to thank you, Lord, for the good reports that we heard, for you are an on-time God. You're a God that isn't deaf. You're not so far from us, Lord, that you can't hear us, or that you're not going to answer. We know, Lord, that you answer in your time and in your way. And how we appreciate for you, Lord, because you're constant in all of thy ways and you don't change. But we ask you to come on the scene for each one of these requests this morning. May you answer them, Lord, and may you lift the people up and may you receive the glory for it. And each hand that went up, may you be with the people that raised their hand. May you answer their request, Father. Be with the other churches around the country, Lord, that are meeting about this time. Or we'll meet shortly, Lord, and may you be with them as well and answer their prayers, their requests, and may you bless each and every one of them. Oh, Lord, be with the pastor as he brings the word this morning. Be with each one of us here. May the lost be saved and those seeking the Holy Ghost, may they receive it. May the rest of us be blessed and refilled, and may the sick and the afflicted be delivered. We ask you for all of these things, and we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now this morning we'll be finishing up the 66th chapter of the book of Psalm. We'll be reading from 11 through the end, which is the 20th verse. "Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. I I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings, with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah.
Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what ye have done for my soul.
I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God bless you. Please be seated.
Amen. Appreciate the reading of the word of the Lord. I had asked Brother Wade if he would sing this little chorus. God gave him this chorus, and so he had said he would sing it if we could do it as a congregational. So I'm going to put the words up here, and he's going to lead us in this. So I pray that it blesses you. Go ahead, Brother Wade.
Welcome back, sister. What's that? Okay. Now, as I had indicated, I'm not really what you'd call musically inclined, and when the Lord laid this on my heart, it's just a little chorus. So just a little chorus doesn't make much for a stand-up special, but it sure makes for a nice little congregational. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Hopefully you heard that, so anyway. Lord, be my portion today. Guide me and lead me, reveal to me thy way. Fill me with your love in word and in deed.
Sure appreciate that, Brother Wade. I think we'll have to keep singing that as a congregational. It's a wonderful message that God laid on his heart. Sister Chloe had asked to sing a special this morning, so we'll have her come at this time.
Fill me with the Holy Ghost.
sure appreciate that, Sister Chloe. God bless you. If the brothers would please come at this time. It's 28 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, and giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, and let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love, and keep me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam. Just keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love.
You just clap it to him. Oh, keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never darkness roll. Just keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied.
Oh, fill my way every day with love.
Is that your desire?
As I walk with the heavenly dove. Oh, let me go all the while with the song and the smile. Fill my
one more time together.
Fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in church this morning. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. And wanted to make a few announcements this morning before we go into the service. So we had a deacons meeting yesterday here at the church and discussed several things that we felt needed to be brought to your attention. But before we get into that, wanted to mention we have a couple of sign-up sheets in the basement on the bulletin board. One of those is for we're going to have the church volunteer and provide the food for a homeless soup kitchen like we did last year. That'll be on Saturday, July the 20th. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, I think there's 14 or 15 places that you can sign up as far as rows for people. We don't really need more people than that, or it'd be way too crowded in the kitchen area that they have there. But if you're interested in volunteering for that, it'll be on Saturday, July the 20th. And that's for our ages. We're going to keep it ages 15 and up. So if maybe a parent and some of the young folks or some of the young teenagers or some of the just individual adults, whatever it would be, has an interest in doing that, please sign up down there for that. And then the other sign-up sheet that we have is for the Believers Youth Camp that's coming up, I believe, the end of June, the beginning of July. And that'll be up in Indianapolis. And Brother Hoover and Brother Trevor and some of the minister brothers are going up to assist with that. And Brother Hoover has offered to drive the church van up for any families that are sending their children that the families aren't going themselves. And I believe he'll be departing on Thursday of that week for the camp and coming back on when are you coming back, Brother Hoover? Sorry, I got it backwards. They're leaving on Saturday, and they're coming back on Thursday. And what are the times you expect leaving and returning?
We'll leave at 11 on Saturday.
11 a.m. on Saturday.
We'll be back about midnight on Thursday.
Picking them up about midnight on Thursday. So if you want to send some of your children, we're going to try to get another brother to go and ride shotgun with him to help with that. And if you want to send some of them, we'll have 13 spots available as of now on the on that church van, and we'll be meeting here in the parking lot at the church Thursday or Saturday at 11, and then returning about Thursday at midnight. So you'll need to, if you're going to send your kids, you'll need to be here at those times to drop them off and pick them up. And I think they're going to the Thursday morning service, and or this, I guess it's the Thursday evening service, and then bringing them back. So if you're interested in either one of those things, please sign up down there. Also wanted to announce that I had mentioned that Brother Trevor and I were wanting to do some things for the youth and Brother Stephen as well. And so we're going to try to have some opportunities besides from just the youth Bible study to do some things for the youth. One of those things is that we've rented a gym for Saturday, July the 27th for the youth. The same ages as the youth Bible study, ages 10 to 30 that are single, never been married. And I think the place that we've rented has two basketball courts and two volleyball courts, and they'll have pizzas there. And I think they're going to do just a short devotional there while they're at the gym, and going to have some activities and things for the youth there. That weekend, so it'll be the Thursday the 25th, Friday the 26th, and Saturday the 27th of July, we're going to do something a little different that we've discussed, and we may not do it all the time, but at least part of the time, we're going to start splitting the age group for the youth Bible studies. It's grown to such a size, and we feel like we can maybe focus on certain topics better. So for that week, we're going to have a Thursday youth Bible study, Thursday the 25th of July here for, and I'm not sure which age group that'll be yet. We'll announce that probably the beginning of July, but we'll have one of those age groups here on Thursday and one of them here on Friday, and the age groups will be 10 to 14 and then 15 and up, and we'll be doing that way for that week. So we'll have a youth Bible study here Thursday for one age group, Friday for another age group, and then the gym activity on Saturday the 27th from 6 to 9 o'clock. Now, while we're having that activity and you've got your children there at the gym, we've also discussed something. I'm pretty sure it'll be Brother Trevor and I'll be here, and maybe Brother Stephen and Brother Hoover at the gym, and maybe some volunteers with them. But Brother Trevor and I would like, for any of you parents that are interested, we would like to offer something from 6:30 to 8:30 here in the sanctuary of the church, just kind of a heart-to-heart with the parents about the young people. Nothing negative about the young people, but just some things that we think that we could encourage you in. It doesn't matter how much the Sunday school teachers do or how much is done here at the youth Bible studies or special meetings. If you as parents don't back some of that up at home and give them opportunities to put those things into action and don't provide things, you know, we tell the kids, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and all that, and that's wonderful. We believe in that, but we need to tell them some things that they can do and encourage them in the right ways and family altars and devotionals and things like that. And you may say, well, Brother Nathan, I don't know the Bible well enough that if my kids ask me a question or the message, I just don't know what to say. Well, we're going to try to provide some things, just a heart-to-heart on the children, on some devotional things like that. So if any parents with children in that age range would like to come, we would encourage you to. So you can drop your children off at the gym at 6, come here at 6:30, and we'll try to get you out of here at 8:30 in time to pick them up at the gym at 9. And it'll be kind of informal. I'll probably give Brother Trevor a mic and me a mic, and we'll just maybe have a discussion back and forth and maybe have some questions and answers as well if you have some that you'd like to ask. And so we'll be doing that, Lord willing. That'll be July the 27th. Also wanted to say, and I know it's a lot of announcements this morning, and but Brother Hoover says my timer doesn't start till I read the opening scripture, so we're not there yet. Also wanted to say, and my heart breaks in one way, but I'm happy for them because I feel like they are following the leading of the Lord for their life. But Brother Wade, that just sang this morning, and Sister Heidi, they're moving back to Texas on us, so... they've become very close friends of ours, and we'll certainly miss them, but they've promised that they're going to come back and visit regularly, so we're going to hold them to it. And we borrowed them from Brother David McGeary's church for a couple of years, and now he's going to borrow them back from us for a couple of years, and then we'll see what happens after that. So, but as you know, Brother Kyle and Sister Kat, and they moved back, and they've got a grandbaby there, and it'd be hard for me not to move where my child and grandbaby was. And also, things are easier there for him with his work, and they do love the church there and the people there. And so they felt led to move back at this time. I think they're in end of June, beginning of July is when you're towards the end of June. So, and I'll be in Florida towards the end of June preaching, so we may pass each other in the air somewhere or something. But we certainly have appreciated them being a part of this congregation, and their love and support of the church, and their friendship, and their homemade pizzas. I mean, hallelujah. They've been a wonderful blessing to our church, and we hope that we've been a blessing to them as well. Also, there was a few things that we discussed in the deacons' meetings, just things that the deacons have observed, and not only the deacons, but myself, and also some of our visitors from other churches, and especially when the people from Louisiana came in, some things that they had mentioned that they felt was a little disrespectful, and that I honestly have to agree with. And I know Brother Branham never says anything in the message. You won't find a quote where he says anything about... looking at social media or sending emails or sending texts during church. He doesn't say those things because none of those things were available back then. But what he does say is he talks about passing notes and things like that in church, and he says that that's not the place to do it and that we should know better. If you want to hear that, go back and listen to the beginning of God in Simplicity when he's dedicating the church there. And so if you're so addicted to social media that you have to check it during church, please at least go to the basement and don't check it in the sanctuary or whatever social media that you're on. If you have an email or a text that is such an emergency that it's more important than whatever's going on up here, people being saved or the word going forth or the worship service, at least have the respect to go to the basement and do that, not in the sanctuary. And also, you know, I will say our services average about 2 hours. So if you can't go 2 hours without texting or emailing or Facebook, and maybe you should get some help for addiction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now we've had, you know, I also want to talk about something else. Brother Bam mentions the word, you can go back and search it, and I'm not going to beat you over the head and read all 46 of them to you, but Brother Bam mentions chewing gum 46 times in the message, and they're all negative things about chewing gum in church. So I'm not going to read you all of those, but the people from Louisiana and different ones and myself, I've mentioned it over the pulpit, and some of the deacons and things have made statements about it. I feel like it's disrespectful. If I came to the pulpit this morning, I'd say, well, sure, it's good to be here, brothers and sisters. And oh, I'm sorry, I got a text message here. I got to check. Give me just a minute, folks. I got to reply to this text message. It's a pastor, brother. You know, it's something that's important. He texted me a quote during service, and I'm going to follow up on that. Well, sure, good to be here. Oh, I'm sorry, I got an email. It's a prayer request from a sister. It's very urgent. Let me stop here and reply to that. And what would you think of me as a pastor? But yet, a lot of us come to church to do all those things in the sanctuary. So, amen. You should be trying to keep this a place of worship just as much as I do, keeping it a place where the Holy Spirit can come and be welcome. Now, I've seen some churches, and maybe you came from churches like that. I know there's several, you know, locally that have done things like this in the past. I don't know if they still do it or not. But I've seen churches where the deacons, if you've got gum in your mouth, the deacons will walk over. And I wouldn't want to do it unless I had rubber gloves on, but give me your gum. Or if you forget to turn off your phone and silence it and it goes off in church, come over, give me your phone. Well, and they wonder why a lot of people leave those churches and come to ours, because they don't even know how the golden rule works, let alone how to treat people. So I figure the golden rule, as far as I understand it, is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want anybody coming and embarrassing me in church and asking me for my gum or my cell phone or whatever it was, even if I was in the wrong. Now, if they wanted to talk to me after service and I had done something like that, then I would feel like I deserved it if I was doing things like that in the sanctuary. And they said, "Brother, look, if you're going to come, we'd appreciate it if you didn't do anything." If I got upset with them, then my attitude is probably wrong. But for them to embarrass me in a service, I wouldn't want it to be done to me or my family. So I've asked the deacons, don't ever, let me just say this very publicly and very clear, I've asked them, don't ever publicly embarrass anybody unless they're disrupting a service. And if you disrupt a service, we will publicly embarrass you and ask you to sit down. And if you don't, we'll carry you out if we have to, but we're not going to allow that to go on. But unless it's absolutely something disruptive, somebody standing up and trying to holler something out in the service, and I'm not talking about worship, I'm talking about trying to interrupt the preacher or have their own sermon out in the audience or something like that, then I've asked our deacons, do not embarrass people publicly. I don't agree with that. You may have come from churches that did it, but this is not a church that does it. I don't see where Brother Branham did that. The only time I can ever find when he did that is when a woman came in just almost completely exposed and he came down and put his coat over her. So I guess if somebody did that and I felt like it was bad enough, we would do that. But also sometimes people come in, they don't know what we know, and you have to have a little bit of grace and patience and time. But some of you sisters have been here long enough to know. Well, praise the Lord. So, anyhow, in that regards, I'm going to read you, I'm not going to read you all 46. I'm not going to read you the 10 that I initially put or the 5 that I narrowed it down to, but I'm going to read you 3 quotes. Brother Furman, can you go ahead and put that up so they can see it, so it's not just Brother Nathan's opinion? I'm going to read you 3 quotes on chewing gum, and if you continue chewing gum and you're doing Facebook and email and texting and things like that in the service, and a deacon mentions, "Hey, didn't you hear Brother Nathan?" Don't get mad at the deacon. Give us 2 hours of your time. Is that all right? Leave the gum and the Facebook and the texting and all that. We won't take your gum. We won't take your cell phones. We just ask you not to use them in church. Thy Loving Kindness, 1958. Those who are so indifferent, they see God perform miracles and do things like he done when he was here on earth. The gospel being preached, they sit and chew their chewing gum, fix their makeup on, say, "Yeah, I guess that's right." How can you escape the damnation of the wrath of God? Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, 1959. And then another thing. A lot of times people raise up and speak in tongues and people sit and chewing gum, looking around. If God's a speaking, keep still, listen. If that's the truth, if that is the Holy Ghost speaking in that person, you sit still and listen and be reverent, the interpretation might come to you. Now, can you imagine if the interpretation came to some people? I'm not taking your phone. I'm using an example. He's taking notes. Brother, oh, he's searching the quote. Okay, sorry. He's pasting the quote. When Brother Hoover's over here, or Brother Hoover, Brother Layton, you know, they both got gray hair. I get them mixed up. When Brother Layton's over here, if he's on his phone, he's either searching a quote or pasting a quote that the Lord's gave him something for inspiration, or he's texting one of the deacons saying, "Hey, there's an issue," or "It's too hot," or something. He's not up here searching social media or something. So, but can you imagine if it was some of you and the tongues came and the interpretation came to you? Sorry, Lord. Here. "Yea, I say unto thee, my people, sit still and be reverent. The interpretation might come to you." All right. Well, praise the Lord. Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, 1959. The people sitting there, some of them are real, start weeping and come to the altar, repent before the service ever starts. The Holy Spirit there, see, the church is in travail. Christians are praying. They got their positions. They're not sitting there chewing gum. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. If you don't like that, then when we get across into heaven, ask Brother Branham, say, "Why did you say those things about chewing gum where Brother Nathan could read them and it not just be his opinion?" Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just ask that you'd come this morning. Lord, as a pastor, sometimes, Lord, I try to run from these things, and I don't enjoy them. It's stressful, and it's pressure, and Lord, at least you gave me a personality to kind of bring some humor into it, Father, but I just ask that you'd help the people to understand I don't do these things to beat them over the head or be legalistic. I try my very best, Lord, to stay away from an old legalistic spirit, but yet, Lord, we do want order in the church, and we want an atmosphere of worship here where you can be present, Lord, and we want to enter into this sanctuary in sincerity and reverence, Lord, because it's a place where you dwell. We wouldn't want to do anything, Father, whether it would be on our phones or passing notes or saying things back and forth to one another that would disrupt the service or disrupt the atmosphere where you're trying to do something and save souls. And, Lord, maybe help our children or help our loved ones, whoever it would be. Lord, we want to do our very best to do our part in our effort to create an atmosphere. And Lord, as we enter into the Word this morning, I just ask that you'd help me. Lord, I don't claim to be perfect. I don't claim to know it all. But, Lord, I do sincerely love you, and I want to do what's best, Lord, for these people. I want to, Lord, stay balanced on the Word, and I want to stay humble and stay in love with everybody, Lord. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come and anoint. Lord, may we lay aside every thought of the day and of the week and the pressures of life, and may we just fellowship around your Word for a little bit. May your Holy Spirit come and anoint in a way that only you can. Help me to get myself, Lord, my own nervousness and thoughts and things out of the way, Lord, so that you could come and do something that would be of benefit to the people here. Lord, I ask also, Lord, I'm almost forgetting with all the announcements and things, Lord, but as Brother Trevor had mentioned in my office, receiving word from a young person that was at the Stillwaters camp this week that his mother had stopped breathing and her heartbeat had stopped, Lord, and reaching out asking for prayer. Lord, I ask that you'd go to that young man. Lord, comfort him at this time, but not only him, may you go to the mother. Lord, may you revive her breathing. May you revive her heartbeat. Lord, may a testimony come forth from it, I pray. Lord, may you get the glory and praise from it. I pray, Father. Lord, may your perfect will be done in the situation in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to say that I certainly appreciate the group of brothers that God has blessed us with, not only minister brothers, which he certainly blessed us with, brothers that stand for this word and that love this message, but also the deacon brothers and the trustee brothers and their efforts and their desires for the church, and Brother Trevor and what he's been doing with the church age lessons and what his desire is to help us with the young people and things. I appreciate these brothers, Brother Hoover, and the different things that he does that many times a lot of you don't see in the background, taking people on tours and spending his time and gas money many times. I try to reimburse him. I tried to get his tank of gas yesterday. We was going to fellowship with a brother all the way out in Salem, and I ran over and slipped my card in and tried to beat him to it, and then I went over to fill up mine, and I didn't realize I hadn't put in my PIN, and so he canceled it out and used his own card. So some people just like to rob you of a blessing, Brother Wade. It's sad, but it's true. But he takes a lot of times when there's people in from out of town, different states and countries and things, he or I or Brother Layton will, or Brother Trevor does sometimes as well, take these brothers and their families on tours of Jeffersonville and Milltown and Salem and different places. And I certainly appreciate the time and the efforts that they put in, and the deacon brothers, the time they put in getting here early and staying here late, and the musicians that come and play. And then if people are at the altar, you know, they stay and play late many times. And I appreciate that. All that goes in as part of the body of Jesus Christ and the efforts that each one makes. And there's some that hold offices, and there's some of you that just come and you sit there and you pay your tithes and you amen the word and you raise your hands and worship and get up and sing a special if you can. And I feel like your part is just as important this morning, that each one of us, a lick of fire that we're bringing to the service. And I appreciate that. And I want to pick up and look again this morning at this scriptural voice that we've been looking at. And as we read here this morning, Cain, now as he's been born, and Abel, they come in the process of time to offer their offerings to God. And we find that Cain brings of the first fruits. He brings apples and oranges and all kinds of things. And he brings it and creates an altar, and he presents this offering unto God. And Abel comes and he brings a little lamb, and he cuts its throat, and it's bleeding and blading. And he recognized that it took a blood sacrifice. And Cain Cain unto his offering. God had no respect, and Cain begins to get upset, and God comes to him and says, "Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." He's telling him, Cain, if you'll come and you'll recognize that there's a vindicated revelation of God's word, and if you'll come and you'll submit to that and you'll fall subject to that, then you'll be accepted and you'll be respected just like your brother. But if you have stubbornness and pride and it's just my way or the highway, and you want to come with your own religion, just like Adam had tried to do before him, tried to come with a fig leaf apron and tried to create a little bit of religion for himself. Now Cain, with an intellectual conception, he begins to come and tries to offer of the fruit of the ground. And it looks like if that had been the original sin, if it had been an apple, that God would have been obligated to respect Cain's offering, that God would have been obligated to accept this, but yet God rejected it and had no respect to it. And we find God's power to transform in 1965. Brother Bam says, but notice Cain come to worship, but he had the wrong seed in him, serpent seed. The hiss of the serpent had hissed over him, for he had the seed of the woman. He knew the perfect will of God, but he refused to do it. It wasn't some hidden mystery that Cain didn't know. It wasn't something that was confusing and over his head, and that Abel was just so much deeper in wisdom and revelation and knowledge that Cain didn't have any idea what to do. He knew the perfect will of God, but he refused to do it. He said, did you know that? Satan knows the will of God, but just refuses to do it. You think, how sad. How sad would that be to know the perfect will of God and then to sit there and refuse to do it? How could Cain do it? How could Satan do it? Well, there was nothing in them to believe, but yet we see people right around in our message ranks that, we pray and we say, God, show us your will. And we all want the perfect will of God. But hey, I want to say this morning, we know the perfect will of God. His perfect will is his word. You say, oh, well, God, I hope you heal me. And if it's your will, I just ask that you'd heal me. If it's not your will, then I guess you just won't. Brother Bam said, you'll never get anything that way. You'll never get any. We come to God sometimes like just like a little whipped puppy dog or something. Well, God, I guess if you want to heal me, you can. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. God said in his word that it was his desire and his will for us to prosper in health, even as our soul prospered. So we know the will of God on healing for our bodies. We don't have to question and ask and wonder, oh, maybe God doesn't want to heal me. His word said that he does want to heal you. So you can either take him at his word that that's his perfect will, or you can let the devil beat you around a bush with a stick and run and hide with your tail tucked between your legs. But we know the perfect will of God because we can look into the word and see not only the written word, but the vindicated, revealed word for the day. We can recognize God's perfect will, but yet many will walk right up to it and refuse to do it. Well, I just couldn't quit this, or I just couldn't quit that. Well, that's what Cain did. Cain wasn't some evil something, some heathen out here that didn't know God's word or his will. He knew the will of God. He'd been raised by parents that knew about Jehovah, that had walked and seen Jehovah in the flesh standing there. And he got right up to the point where he knew God's word. God came and spoke to him and said, look, if you do well, God gave him an opportunity. And yet he refused to do it. Amen. He knew God's perfect will and yet refused to do it. How many today do the same thing? Notice he had seen, Brother Bam said, he had seen God vindicate Abel's message. Now I want you to think, use your thinking man's filter now for a message. Abel's correct message that God vindicated to be the truth. This wasn't just Abel's thought. This wasn't just Abel's own ability or just head knowledge of, well, I'll study and memorize my way into it. But God came, and maybe you've never looked at it this way before, but if you just take the scripture we just read and the quote we just read, God comes and he vindicates Abel's message, and he tells Cain, hey, this is my provided way. Your brother has the revelation. Why are you distraught? Why are you downtrodden? Why are you disheartened? This is the way. If you'll just submit yourself, I'm vindicating Abel's message. It's a blood sacrifice. It had to be the blood that was shed. It had to be a flesh offering because it was the flesh that sinned in the first place. And he comes and vindicates Abel's message, and he shows Cain that it's a vindicated message. And Cain said, I can't do that. I don't want to be associated with some bloody sacrifice. Hmm. Abel's correct message that God vindicated to be the truth. He says, are you drawing now? Abel's message had been received, and Cain saw it and know that God had vindicated the message, right? But he just couldn't do it. His pride kept him from it. That's right. His pride kept him from doing it. He's seen God vindicate the message. How many today do this, their pride hold them back? Well, I believe God sent a prophet, but, you know, to stop this or stop that or to do this or do that, I could never do that. Why? Because their pride gets in the way. Our pride gets in the way. Many times when we run across a scripture or a quote and we know we're lacking, instead of just submitting and saying, Lord, hey, I'm wrong. It's not the word that's wrong. It's me that's wrong. I recognize I'm not living to this standard that I see in the word. I need you to come. I need you to help me. I need you to change me from the inside out. We say, well, I could never do that. That's an old Cain spirit. Oh, my. May we hear a scriptural voice this morning. Calling us back to the word, calling us back to the truth. May we lay down our pride. May we lay down our human ability. May we lay down our worldly wisdom and our intellect and say, Lord, I want what you want for me. I want to lay myself upon your altar as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, if my life doesn't line up with the word, may I never try to find a loophole around the word. May I never try to question the word. May I never try to water down the word to fit my lifestyle. But God, may you come and change my lifestyle to fit the word. May you come, Lord, and change me. May you change my priorities. May you change the things that's important. May you give me courage. May you give me gumption to stand up and take a stand for your word. Amen. Well, if I did, I don't know what my husband would say, or I don't know what my wife would say. I don't know. My parents might think that I was a holy roller, or this one over here, they might think I just went off on the deep end going to church through the open door or something like that. Take a stand for the word. Even back in Pentecost, Brother H. Richard Hall, that mom and dad followed his ministry before they fully came into the message, one thing that he said that has stuck with me that they've quoted to me many times over the years, he said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It's time that we stand for something. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. But we get so wishy-washy and doty and just go along and compromise with anything. Oh my, God's word is not like that. The prophets that God sent down through the ages were not like that. They were ridiculed. They were scorned. They were made fun of. They were sawn asunder. They was fed to lions. They was burned at the stake. But they stood for God's word, regardless of what anybody thought. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now we fast forward thousands of years. Here is Cain and Abel, and Cain comes, and he tries to present his beautiful offering of apples and oranges and apricots and all these things on an altar, and God says, I refuse that way. That's not scriptural. That's not by revelation. That's contrary to the revelation of the vindicated word. I'm rejecting your sacrifice, and I'm accepting Abel's, and if you'll come my provided way, if you'll come under the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats back there under the old covenant, if you'll come that way, then you'll be accepted. You won't be refused, you'll be accepted. But Cain's pride kept him from doing it. Now that there's no longer the shedding of blood and bulls and goats, but we fast forward past the crucifixion and the resurrection, and now it was a sacrifice once and for all that his blood was shed there at Calvary for us as an atonement for the remission of our sins. And now there's a group of people that they come and they see these Holy Ghost filled men for the first time that had ever come that way on the face of the earth, and they come and they want what these men have gotten. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now Peter's going to give them a formula. Just like Abel had a formula back there under the old covenant in the Old Testament, now Peter, the man with the keys to the kingdom, he's going to give them a formula that they can either accept it and be accepted, or they can reject it just like Cain of old did and be rejected, just like him and his sacrifice were. That you can stay an old Pharisee, you can try to come the legalistic way of works of the law, or you can come God's provided way, and it means whether you're accepted or rejected. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, Brother Branham, many different times, he calls this an eternal prescription. It was an eternal prescription. There isn't any more. They had changed dispensations from the shedding of blood of bulls and goats, and now they had changed into a dispensation of time where it was no longer the annual or the weekly sacrifices of the shedding of blood and bulls and goats for different sins. But now it had come a time where there had been one sacrifice once and for all, that Jesus Christ has shed his blood. Now they're changing from one dispensation to another, yet it was still the shedding of blood. For the Bible said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so now they're changing from a dispensation into now a dispensation that once and for all, there didn't have to be anything else come. We didn't have to have no other man come and give his life for us. Jesus didn't have to repeatedly give his life for us. But once and for all, his blood was shed for a remission of sins to those that could accept the new covenant or the new testament. And so now God gives an eternal prescription. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to get to Laodicea and say, well, you don't need to come the baptism of the Holy Ghost way that they did at Pentecost anymore. Now, if you can just intellectually accept the word, that's all you need. No, it was an eternal prescription. Amen. It wasn't to be changed. It wasn't to be watered down. It wasn't to be modified. It was an eternal prescription as long as the Lord our God shall call. So if he's still calling this morning and you've got some other prescription besides the way that was said right here, then your sacrifice is going to be rejected just like Cain's was, because this is the eternal prescription. Not some man-made intellect, not some figuring it out, not somebody's favorite quote or scripture or the way they lean off of this limb or that limb or whatever. An eternal prescription. It was good for all seven church ages. There was no expiration date as long as time would continue to go on. Amen. A lot of times you get a, you know, you go and you look and maybe you went to the doctor for something. He gave you some maximum strength ibuprofen that was prescription level, 800 milligram or something. And you turn over the back and it says expiration March of 2016. Well, you might try to use it, but medical science will tell you that the elements in it begin to break down after that, and it's not going to be as strong as what it was originally prescribed as. That 800 milligrams isn't going to, it might have 800 stamped on it, but it's not going to really be 800 milligrams anymore. It's going to start to break down, and they recommend that you just throw away those old prescriptions. But we've got a prescription that doesn't have an expiration date. Amen. Until God stops calling, until time is no more, it doesn't have an expiration date. As long as there's time, there's a prescription. Amen. Amen. It hasn't got weaker in this church age than it was in Luther's or Wesley's or Paul's age. It's an eternal prescription. It hasn't got weaker. It's the same this morning as it was on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. You want to be accepted? Come God's provided way. Amen. What Brother Branham says is the problem is that we've had a lot of quack doctors and quack druggists that have tried to change the prescription. They look at it, oh, so many milligrams of this and so many milligrams of that and half a teaspoon of this and half a teaspoon. Well, I think it'd be better to up the dose a little bit. And what do you do? Brother Bam said, he said a medicine, it's got enough, if it's an antibiotic or something, it has enough poison in it that it'll kill those bad germs in your body, but not so much that it'll kill you, the patient. And he said, you begin to mix with the prescription. He said, you give it too much of the prescription and it won't just kill the germ, it'll kill the patient. He said, you don't give it enough and it won't even kill the germs. That's what we've had a lot of problems around message churches, is they've spiritually killed people by trying to inject things that wasn't in the original formula, or they've tried to take things out of the original formula and it has no impact on the people. It's too weak to change their lives. Not because the word was too weak, but because they said, well, I don't like this part here. I don't know why Brother Bram said that. I don't like that one. And that doesn't agree with my lifestyle. And this one would hurt somebody's feelings. So we're going to put that one there. And then I think, you know, my pastor teaches that this was for some other day. So we're just going to. And what do you get? A jumbled up mess. Bits and pieces of the word. I don't want bits and pieces of it. I want all the word. Amen. I don't want to say, well, and then some of them, they get down to where this is about all they got left. Glory to God. The prophet said this, the prophet said this, the scripture said this, and that's all they rally around is that one little piece. Oh, hallelujah, every convention, every service, every meeting, you can come back in 3 years and they're preaching that one little bitty part again. Oh, hallelujah, don't you see it? It's the word. Hey, that is the word. But look at all this that you're missing out on. Amen. I don't want a portion of the word. I want all the word. Amen. I want all that God has given us and blessed us with. What's the matter? Too many quack doctors and quack druggists have got in around the message and have tried to change the prescription and say it was for some other day. Oh, my. Unchangeable Word of God, 1956. That's what's the matter with a lot of these churches today. So formal and ungodly. They kill their church by taking the prescription and making some of a dogma out of it and not leaving it the way that God wrote it. Going beyond the camp, 1964, and now some of you quack doctors quit writing those fake prescriptions. See, you're killing your people. What have they done with false doctrines and false man-made creeds and legalism? They've come in and they've wrote fake prescriptions that, well, you got to see it my way and you got to hear it my way and you got to come my way and you got to believe this doctrine a specific way and you got to go here and you got to go there and you got to do that. And what have we got them back to? Catholic roots of going and doing penances and things that, well, if you can do it the way that Brother So-and-so's chart says, then you can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, if you can go back to the original prescription, then you'll have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not for how Brother Nathan explains it, or not for how Brother so-and-so down the street or in another state or another country explains it. It's an eternal prescription. Leave the prescription alone. You're killing your people. Let me read you this real quick. We'll skip ahead a little bit. Brother Branham says this about some of these churches that do this. End time sign seed, 1962. And that's the way that people gets away from the Word of God. It becomes a hybrid affair. It must die. When you hybrid something, you begin to mix the seeds and you begin to come and you take a little bit of this and you take a little bit of that and mix it together. Brother Bram said him and another man was sitting there listening to the radio and they came on a program about the 4-H Club and they had scientifically produced a kernel of corn that to look at it, you couldn't tell. To break it down and look at the molecules, you couldn't tell the difference between the real grain of corn that was laying there and the hybrid man-made manufactured corn. Oh, that's like a lot of message churches today. Amen. They can sit in the pew beside one another and for years and years and years you can't tell the difference. But then it begins to be manifesting time and it begins to be harvest time and the trials and perils of the world and the life begins to come upon them and you begin to see what's a real wheat and what's a tare. Oh, they look the same for a while. The shuck looks the same for a while, but then it begins to pull away from the wheat and says, we can't handle anymore. So-and-so said this on their website. And we think Brother Branham was this and we think he was that. And we're questioning this. Go ahead, you old shuck. You was made to pull away, but the true wheat will stand there for the truth. We begin to hybrid it. He said, you can't tell the difference. But he said, you want to know which one's the real? Bury them both in the ground. Plant them. And one of them will rot and die and never come up. And the other one will produce new life again. Amen. He says it cannot bring forth of its kind to life again. The church that will refuse to believe the Word of God is a hybrid church with dogmas, creeds, doctrines that's not scriptural. That church cannot bring forth a spirit-filled child because it's a hybrid. How are you going to produce life when you've mixed the Word with something else? Well, we believe the Word and Brother So-and-so's man-made opinion. We believe the Word plus all this legalism that we dragged in from the UPC or the Methodist or the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Catholic. You've hybrid the Word of God, and it'll produce death, not life. That church cannot bring forth a spirit-filled child because it's hybrid. It's no good. It might be bigger, great big walls, fine pews, big bells, plus seats, but that doesn't mean one thing. It's spiritually dead. That's right. It cannot bring forth spirit-filled children because it's dead itself. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, the opening of the fourth seal. John begins to write and he says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that was on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. A lot of people think that that fourth seal, you know, well, that was just back there in the Dark Ages, and that was just back there under Eichmann and Hitler and things, all the killing and things, and then we'll see another little glimpse of it. At the tribulation period, all the death and killing and things of over spiritual causes. But I want to remind you this morning that there's more than one death. There's a natural death and there's a spiritual death. And when hell went forth, when death went forth and hell following after him to ride, it was not just physical death that they were doing, but there was a spiritual death that was going with it. Brother Bam says in the fourth seal, 1963, no wonder he could impersonate himself in the personified name of and called death. He sure was. Now, God only knows how many he caused to spiritually die by his anti-Bible word teaching. And we leave that off in the Catholic Church. We just think that that's where the Antichrist spirit stops. Oh, it's so much smoother and wiser than that. Jesus said it'd be so close to deceive the very elect if it was possible. And it's not just physical death that we're facing. I know the martyrs face that much more than we ever will, unless you're a foolish virgin and you don't get out of here when the rapture takes place. The martyrs dealt with that much more than we ever will. But yet there's still spiritual death going on all around us. Why? Because of people accepting a hybrid form of the word. The word plus. I don't want the word plus. I just want the word. The word plus somebody's agenda. The word plus somebody's opinion. The word plus some man-made legalism or false doctrine or false creed. Away with such. What's it causing? Spiritual death. He said this is the one. He put 68 million to the sword and killed, and probably literally billions died spiritually on his false teaching. No wonder he could take the name of death. Literally billions died spiritually on his false teaching. To hybrid the word, well, you can put whatever name you want on you, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Message, Church of Christ, whatever it is. You can put any name that you want and sit under it, but when you hybrid the word, you're dead. Amen. Spiritually. Brother Bram says in Discerning the Body of the Lord, 1959, discern the times that we're living in. We'll die spiritually if we don't do that. Now, I want to go back and look a little bit. Let's go back to Cain just briefly. Because if you believe in a vindicated prophet in this age and you've sat under the teachings of the message long enough, surely by now you can recognize that it wasn't apples back there in the garden, but that it was an act between Eve and the serpent. Somebody said, I don't believe that. He was just a snake. Well, if he was just a snake, then God is the worst curser ever. That's not original. One of the brothers from Louisiana shared that with me. I thought that was good. I thought that was worth repeating. The worst curser ever. Can you imagine a snake up in the tree talking to Eve with a human voice? Now, Eve, surely God didn't. And God says, now listen here, snakey. I'm going to put a curse on you, old boy, and you're going to crawl around on your belly, and you're going to eat dust the rest of your life. He said, big deal. That's what I do already. Not a very big curse, was it? That'd be like saying, now, Brother Nathan, now, when you was a teenager, you fell into sin, and so you're going to have to pay for that. So I'm going to make you eat meat and potatoes all your life. Oh, no. Throw me in the briar patch. Like Briar Rabbit, you know. Not the briar patch. That wouldn't be a very good penalty or curse for a snake. I'll take your legs off. He said, what legs? Go for it. Wasn't a snake. It was a man of worldly wisdom. The Bible said, will the nations look upon him and narrowly say, is this the man that destroyed the nations? Brother Bram said he was a man of worldly wisdom. As we looked at last week, when Ezekiel, God told him, son of man, take up a parable to the king of Tyre and to the prince of Tyre. And he said, you was back there in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of God. You was that anointed cherub. How could he speak to the king of Tyre like that? Because that serpent seed had come and weeded its way down through. And he was speaking to that seed and the man, just as Jesus could stand there and they could be Pharisees of the Pharisees and Hebrews of the Hebrews. And Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer, and his works you do. He was a liar and the father of it. Oh, my, what's he talking about? Serpent seed.
Jesus was preaching serpent seed. What was Moses doing when he put a brass serpent up on a staff for the healing of the people to represent the brass judgment of God representing sin already judged? What was he doing? Moses was preaching serpent seed. What was Paul doing when he said, I've espoused you as a chaste virgin unto Christ, but I have a fear lest Eve, as Eve was beguiled by the serpent, some man would beguile you, and I couldn't present you as a chaste husband, as a chaste wife, rather, to one husband. What's he doing? He's preaching serpent seed. Oh, my. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what it was, it was just spiritual. It was a spiritual something that he just got her to question the word. But both of those children were really Adam and Eve's. Well, if they was, then why is Cain never the firstborn who should have had the birthright if he was Adam's son? Why is he never, ever? Show me one quote. Bring me one scripture in the entire Bible where he's ever recognized in the lineage of Adam. Never once. Never once. If they was both Adam and Eve's child, why is he never shown there? Never once is he mentioned. He was of that wicked one. That's what the New Testament said. He was of that wicked one. Was Adam a wicked one? Adam was a son of God. A creative son of God. He wasn't the wicked one. Well, how was he of that wicked one? Because God said, I'll put enmity between your seed and the serpent's seed. What did that have to do with eating an apple? What did that have to do with the spiritual revelation of some spiritual perverted something? It was a physical act that took place, and it produced twins. And one of them was Adam's son, and one of them was Cain's son. And it brought down through, and it caused the problems that we're having today. It's because the sons of God saw the daughters of man again in the days of Noah, and they mixed the seed. They mixed the seed again. Oh, my, what has it caused? Confusion and sin and turmoil. You say, oh, poor Brother Nathan, he still believes that serpent seed stuff. Yep, I do, and so did Moses, and so did Jesus, and so did Paul. So did Brother Branham. Amen, it's not something new. Somebody asked my Uncle Morris one time, said, did Branham start that stuff on serpent seed? Was he the first one to teach that? He said, no, actually, Moses was the first one to ever teach it that we have in Scripture for him. I guess Adam was the first one to really teach it to Abel. Begin to explain to him the revelation, then Abel began to catch the revelation. But Moses is the first one that sits down and begins to write about it in the book of Genesis. And then over there, when he lifts up a brass serpent before the people, what was he doing? Trying to get them to recognize what took place. Why? Because we have to recognize who our enemy is. Amen. Amen. Our enemy is not just a thought that floats through, he's a person. Amen. Brother Branham said he's just as real as God is real. He's a person that was created. Amen. A cherubim that fell. Lucifer, he had a name. He had a personality. And he comes and he torments people. And he tries to ruin their lives. And he tries to again inject himself. And he comes through and our flesh gets weaker and wiser, Brother Branham said. And this flesh will never get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So you better hold on to something. Goodness gracious, time can't already be up, can it?
I'll preach. Preach, brother.
Discerning the body of the Lord, 1959, the last plague that hit Egypt was death. The last plague that's hit the church is spiritual death.
Amen.
What we need today is a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening to discernment.
Amen.
Recognize the tactics of the enemy. Amen. Recognize how subtle he is, how subtle that he came to Eve. Oh, it sounded so good and so sweet, but look what it produced. Look at what it produced in that boy. Look what it produced in the generations that would come down after him.
Right.
Now look, mixing the original seed, the spoken word, remember, was the original seed. God spoke and he created Adam. And then from Adam he takes and he takes a rib and he places it and it creates a woman from it. And when they took from that original seed and they mixed it with the serpent seed, the mixing of the two physical seeds caused physical death. Now, if it was just spiritual sin and there wasn't a physical act, then wasn't God unjust to come and say, well, you're going to physically die if it was just spiritual sin? But physical sin brought physical death. And he comes and he tells them that she's going to have problems in childbearing and travail and childbirth because of this. Well, if it was an apple, the punishment sure didn't match the crime. If it was a spiritual sin, then the punishment didn't match the crime. He didn't say you're going to die spiritually. He said you'll die physically. And mixing of the original physical seed with the physical serpent seed caused physical death. Now we come down and it's not a physical mixing of seed anymore. You can't go down and trace your lineage back and say, well, I'm of the original seed and I'm of the serpent seed or whatever it would be. It's mixed so much down through physically from the daughters of God and the daughters of man mixing back there in the original that you can't trace it to a family. Even right there in Isaac and Rebekah having Esau and Jacob, two godly predestinated parents serving Jehovah, and it produced twins again. One of them a son of God, and one of them sought the birthright with tears, but he couldn't get it. Why? Because there wasn't anything in him to believe from the first place. What was it? Just as mixing the original physical seed with the serpent seed caused physical death, now mixing the original word with man-made dogma causes spiritual death.
Amen.
Physical sin produces physical death. Spiritual sin produces spiritual death.
Amen.
Brother Bram says in Identification in 1964, if you don't have a church, you must, see, you'll die spiritually. You'll just dwindle away. Well, that's what the prophet taught us. I know we're getting more and more and more away from that around the message, and it's becoming more and more popular to stay home and not to have a home church and all these things, but the prophet said you'll die spiritually. So what are we to do? God's raising up watchmen to sit on the watchtower to cry out against these things and to say, hey, it's going to cause spiritual death if you do these things. The end time sign seed, 1962. We already read that one. I'm sorry. We'd skipped ahead and read that one. St. Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a sad situation to be in. That's one of the saddest scriptures that we could read. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sitting and studying your Bible. Sitting and reading a message book and listening to tapes and ever learning. Oh, we've seen them all around the message. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
Can't even treat people right, let alone live right. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Bless God, I'll prove brother so-and-so wrong on this, and I've got this, and I've got this new thing over here, and we've seen this, and we've seen that, and this nominal guy over here prophesied this, and this woman preacher over here is teaching this on YouTube and all this. What are they doing? Hybriding the original word, and it leads them to death. But yet they're constantly learning and digging and searching and scratching. Oh, we've seen them pop up here and there, and they think you're an idiot because you won't dig into all the stuff they're digging into. What are they doing?
Amen.
The original word wasn't enough for them, just like Eve. So they sit there with itching ears. Maybe there's something else somebody's got out here. Maybe there's something new that somebody else has got out here. Oh, my. Why would I want to send it to some Trinitarian or woman preacher when I know they're wrong? They can't even get to first base on the word with us. Why would I want to send it to that? As a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a marriage counselor or something like that, they might be able to do you some good, but when it comes to the revealed word of God, you better not try to mix that in with their man-made theology. That doesn't just go out here in the denominational ranks, but it creeps right down into the message where people drag in all this garbage from their intellectual conceptions of what they think the world is and what they've brought in from their denominations or their family history or whatever somebody, brother so-and-so said that brother Branham said once upon a time that's not on tape, and they drag all that into the message with them and they try to mix it, and it, what does it do? It causes spiritual death. We need to hybrid the word. I don't need the word plus. I don't need Christ plus. Hey, man, that's all I need.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I'm talking about for spiritual revelation. You say things like this and somebody says, well, you think it's wrong for us to read John Wesley's journal, or you think it's wrong for us to read some good family book on the Dr. Dobson wrote or something like that? Hey, you know, there's a time and a place for those things, but if you're talking about looking to it for revelation of the word, you better be careful, Eve. You better be careful what you're mixing. If you're just looking for something encouraging to read and something to maybe give you a good outlook on life or something like that, that's all right, but don't you start taking that as the revealed word. Is this the sign of the end, sir? 1962? If you happen to get the tape, whoever's listening to the tape, remember, if something is puzzling to you, don't say it unless it's on the tape. Don't say something contrary to what's on the tape.
Amen.
That's pretty plain. That's pretty simple. Why is this such a problem around the message? That you hear new stuff all the time. People coming up with and coming to conclusions that the prophet of God never came up to. Why? Because they can't leave it alone. They've got to try to do something new, something super duper. Hey, this is super duper enough for me. It was a super anointing with a super message for a super age, for a super bride that's taken a super rapture. Amen. Don't say something contrary to what's on the tape. Now, many of us today, let me just go ahead and read you this next one. Recognizing Your Day and Its Message, 1964. Here the other day in Arizona, splicing tapes, trying to make me say things that I didn't say. Just remember the vision about the Arizona proposition. The Bible said it was far better for you that you had a rock at your neck. And another thing, that whosoever, let him be preacher or what he will make one word away from it or add one word to it. People putting their own interpretation upon the word as it's been given, trying to make it say something that I did not say, and not my word, it's his word. Who shall add to or take away? He said in Arizona, splicing tapes to try to make me say things that I didn't say. Now, in the message ranks, you probably won't find anybody. They'd be scared to death. Somebody to actually go out there and get some magnetic tape and pull it out of the tape player or off of the reel-to-reel and get their scissors out and get their scotch tape and tape it back together and take out something that he said. Oh, we'd be scared to death to do that. We don't splice tapes that way. How do we splice tapes? Well, we copy and paste the part of the quote that follows our doctrine and we send that to people. Or we get up and we preach that part of it, but we stop where it stops agreeing with us and we don't read the rest of what he said. How many times have I sat in an audience, Brother Hoover, and if I didn't feel like it would have been order out of order, how many times have I wanted to say, read the next sentence? Because they'll read what they like and what rubs them the right way, and they'll stop where it starts contradicting what they're teaching. Go ahead and read the next sentence. It's the word too. We splice it out. Oh no, we would never. We would never take and physically cut up a magnetic tape, but we copy and paste our favorite parts into our favorite searches and our favorite studies, and we leave out the parts that don't rub us the right way and that we can't explain through our doctrinal filter of, you know, I've sat and asked brothers about different things, and I asked one brother one time sitting in his living room, he was trying to tell me that the coming of the Lord happened in 1963 and that God had come up, that God had did this and God had did that, and the cloud picture that was the coming. We don't look for his coming anymore. We're not looking for those things. And I said, Brother, I want to ask you something. I said, Brother Branham said, when he comes like that he's off the mercy seat and that there's no more atonement, that he's come off the mercy seat. You go back and listen to souls that are in prison, and Brother Branham's saying, could it be? Is time up? Is he off the mercy seat? He's searching and he's looking. He doesn't know what it is. Well, if he came off the mercy seat, then most of us and most of the people that teaches that would be out. But of course they come up with little loopholes. Well, you know, if you believe this certain doctrine or if you was related to somebody that came in before then you get grandfathered in. I thought God didn't have grandchildren. What are you doing? You're splicing, trying to make it say things that he never said. Away with such garbage. Away with doctrines of man and dogmas and creeds and people's opinions. Don't mix that stuff with the word. It'll cause spiritual death. I asked the brother, I said, if he's off the mercy seat, If what you're saying is true, then he's off the mercy seat. And what does that leave for brothers like you and me that came in after 1963? He said, well, I don't have the answer for everything. I thought, well, apparently you don't. Amen. You try to explain him off the mercy seat to me, I stop listening.
That's right.
No, his blood's still as strong as it was. We don't have it in a bottle with an ink dropper to come around and say, now, we're going to apply some physical blood to you and sprinkle it on it like the Methodists. No, don't get me wrong. People say, oh, poor Brother Nathan, he's still talking about the blood. Amen. Guilty is charged. Amen. I'm guilty and I was guilty, but his blood came and I'm not guilty anymore. Amen. But if you want to remove the blood, if you want to take him off the mercy seat, then you're sitting there guilty. Because there's no blood to wash your hands.
Right.
Amen. I'll take the blood. I'll take the way with the despised view. I'll still sing there's power in the blood, wonder working blood. I'm not going to tell Brother Furman to stop singing it. I thank God for the blood that was shed at Calvary.
Right.
I'm not going to splice tapes and make him say something he didn't say. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't get out the scissors and the tape. We've had Windows and Apple come and make a little copy and paste program for us where we don't have to feel condemned with our scissors and scotch tape. Recognizing your day, 1964, and you trying to say, are you trying to say something that the Spirit hasn't said? Are you trying to make it sound like it said something? Or you just take it exactly what it said and leaving it like that? Are you splicing, cutting, taping, doing things that's not right? Have you? Oh, but we see all over the world, ministers get up behind a pulpit and come to some conclusion of polygamy or that it's okay for deacons and pastors to divorce and remarry and divorce and remarry and divorce and remarry. And they get all kinds of loopholes and try to bring it through the same pure message that we received. How can they do it? The only way they can do it is leave out things that he said. How can they sit there and condemn, you know, get up in church and condemn going to church and make fun of things and make fun of people that still believe in a fivefold ministry or the nine spiritual gifts and things? What are they doing? They're mixing their own thoughts and their own opinions, saying, well, I think it should be this way, and I think it'd be better if we did this, and I think it'd be better if we didn't teach this anymore. I think it'd be better if we didn't read these quotes over here, and I think I can't explain this, so we'll just leave that alone. Hybriding. Mixing. Spiritual sin producing spiritual death. What does it do? Why can't it produce the new birth? Because it can't come through the filter of the Word.
Right.
It can't come through the filter of the Word because the Holy Ghost, what did Brother Bam say was the sign of the Holy Ghost? It'll say amen to all the Word.
Amen.
That doesn't mean just to sit there and amen, 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 63, amen, 65, amen, 59, 57, 47, amen. Whew. I must have the Holy Ghost, Brother Layton. The devil can do that. The devil can do that. But when a brother gets up and begins to preach something and you recognize, hey, that's in the Word. That's Scripture. That's message. That's true. That's the vindicated word for the age. That's what we believe. And then because of popularity, you say, well, Brother so-and-so don't believe it that way, and he might disfellowship with me if I amen that. I better. And got the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost will amen all the Word. When you can sit there and show people not your favorite quote or your favorite scripture, but when you can show them 20 and 30 and 40 pages that Brother Branham in the Scripture says things over and over and over, and they say, we don't need that anymore. That's what Eve did with one word, not with 20 or 30 or 40 pages. She said, I don't think we need that. The serpent showed me a better way. It's a lot better for this age. It's a lot smarter. It's a lot simpler. It's a lot more eloquent. It's not, you know, it's not a bloody sacrifice. It's just so beautiful and so polished and things. Oh, don't you mix things in with the Word. Don't you take things out from the Word. It'll cause spiritual death every time. Spiritual death. Why would we want to mix the formula? Take away from a perfect formula and say, oh my, well, you know, I think we ought to take a little bit of this out over here, inject a little bit of this in. It's a perfect formula. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anything you can try to substitute, any club, any activity, anything of man-made works you can add to it, it'll never take the place of the Holy Spirit. There's no substitution for it. Brother Bram said, why would you want to take a substitute when the Pentecostal skies is full of the real thing? Oh, but we want a better way. We want something that, you know, we don't want to have to get down and snot and cry and maybe scuff up our shoes or something like that. We want some intellectual way where we can just come and shake the preacher's hand or quote a certain quote or say we believe a certain doctrine or sit under a certain ministry or attend a certain church or belong to a certain circle or go over here or over there, wherever. That's not the formula. The formula didn't say if you sit under Brother Nathan, if you go to Church of the Open Door, if you believe a certain doctrine, said repent and be baptized. Not under titles, not under some man-made dogma, but in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall.
Amen.
Problem is, a lot of people won't let go to really fully repent. They're still holding on to too many things. Lord, forgive me, and then do like what we was talking about Wednesday night, getting out the paddles and the CPR and chest compressions, trying to revive, give mouth to mouth to that giant that they was trying to get delivered of, and then they get out of church and get out of the conviction and out of the anointing, and then they try to go and revive the thing. What? They didn't fully repent.
Amen.
Then they sit and wonder, why didn't you give me the Holy Ghost? Because you just said, I'm sorry. You didn't repent. Repent means to change your ways. Greater Than Solomon is here, 1963. Forgive our ministers, Lord, who will stand in the pulpit and be ashamed to proclaim the full gospel of Christ. The full gospel of Christ. Oh, we've got a lot of them all around the message. Doesn't make me anything. Don't get the idea that we're the only one. There's plenty of brothers standing and proclaiming the full gospel. Amen. There's plenty of good brothers that are standing for this. But we've got a lot of others that have crept in, and they'll stand up and proclaim whatever's popular, or they'll get up and proclaim their favorite quote or the favorite doctrine, but they're ashamed to proclaim the full gospel. Oh, it might hurt their crowd, or oh, somebody might misunderstand, or it might disfellowship them from the little circle that they fellowship in. He says, how that many of them today, the whole world has become a Sodom. Many ministers sitting in their parish tonight and tomorrow are in their study, trying to find words and run across the Word of God and see the sins, but are afraid to say anything about it because they'd be excommunicated. The deacon board will have them up, and they'll be turned into headquarters and be taken out when they know they ought to preach against sin. It's a lot again. It's a lot. Again, standing there knowing, vexing their righteous souls, knowing the word says this and the word says that, but because of a meal ticket or because of popularity or because they know they'd be kicked to the curb, they won't preach the full gospel. He said the sin of Sodom vexed his righteous soul, but man hasn't got the courage. Just like Lot, he didn't have the courage to stand. God give us courage. God give us more Davids. Give us more Marys that'll say, be it unto me according to thy word. Whether it's popular, whether it's unpopular, whether the crowds are big or whether they're small, whether the bank account's full or little, may we not look at that, but may we look to the Word. Yes. Cling to the Word. Say, Lord, I'm accepting you. I'm taking you at your Word. I'm not mixing some man-made something. I'm not ripping part of it out. I want to take you at all your Word. Amen. God help us not to spiritually hybrid it and bring spiritual death, not to mix something like Cain did, not to mix something like Eve did, some man-made religion or theology. Oh, we don't need theology. We need neology, Brother Branham said. Yes. Sons and daughters of God that'll spend time in prayer and say, Lord, whatever it takes, take everything out of me. Take my pride. Take my stubbornness. Take my human ability. Take it all out of me and let me stand for your word. I'll just say this. I may not always be right. I don't claim to be perfect. But we follow a word that is perfect.
Amen.
And it is right. It is right. In the face of anything, in the face of criticism, in the face of fanaticism, in the face of half-hearted message believers around the world that'll take their favorite part of it, the word is right.
Amen.
Oh, I know there's a lot of scarecrows and that takes away. You know, in people's minds it takes away. But that doesn't change the original word. Doesn't change the original word no more than it changed the original seed back there in Adam. He was still the original seed. Eve tried to mix it and pervert it, and it brought forth a hybrid. It brought forth a renegade. But the original seed, you can't pervert the original seed. You can't pervert the original word. Amen. You take it back all the way to the beginning. Don't mix anything in with it. It'll still produce the same things that it did in the book of Acts.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this age of confusion, so many opinions get injected. Lord, even in message pulpits, people getting up and preaching opinions and man-made dogmas and creeds and legalism and trying to inject their new doctrines and new theologies and new ways of doing things. And they think that it's so much better. It's something new for the people. Lord, don't they recognize, Lord, that it's like the fire that Aaron's sons tried to produce. It's a manufactured something. It's a man-made light. Lord, why would we want to turn to that when there's plenty of the real fire off the altar that fell on the day of Pentecost? That Holy Ghost and fire that's keeping us alive, that's changing us. Lord, may we not mix our opinions, our ideas, or some man-made something in with the Word, but may we keep the Word in its purity. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, just as it produced death to the human race when they mixed it physically back there, Lord, to mix the word spiritually, to mix some hybrid religion in with the original word, Lord, oh, it brings spiritual death in this age. Help us, Jesus.
Help us to stay true to the Word. Lord, may you awaken us spiritually. May you shake our conscience to realize, Lord, so many playing around, dabbling in this and dabbling in that, Lord. But Lord, if we see a spot where we're coming up short in the Word, may we not be stubborn and prideful like Cain and say, well, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to find a loophole, or I'm going to find somebody that'll let me do it. Oh, Lord, may we cling to your Word. May we cling to the truth, Lord, with all that's within us. Lord, if we're wrong, help us admit that we're wrong. But Lord, it's not the Word that's wrong. It's not you that's wrong. Lord, it's us that's wrong many times. We need to reset, Lord, realign our priorities. Make sure that you're Lord in our life, Lord, because anything that we place before you or your Word, it becomes idolatry in our lives. Whether it's our opinions or somebody else's teachings, or whether it's some activity that we prefer to do over coming to church or reading the Word or to spending time with you, Lord, activities are fine. They have their place. But Lord, if it becomes a god over us, if it becomes an addiction and we're spending more time doing those things than we are spending time for the kingdom of God, Lord, it becomes idolatry in our lives. Lord, may we lay it all down, cling to your Word. May we come humbly like Abel with our sacrifice of praise. Say, Lord, I don't have nothing in my hands to bring. Simply to that cross I cling. I'm depending on you, Lord. I'm not depending on my ability. I'm not depending on my wisdom. I'm depending on you, Lord. I'm depending on your Word. I'm not depending on my righteousness, my truthfulness. I'm depending on your righteousness. I'm depending on you that your Word is true, and I accept it. I don't want some perverted form of it, some watered down version of it that would take away, or some injected something, Lord, that some man-made ecclesial something added to it, some doctor or druggist, quack doctor or quack druggist has added to it, Lord. But we want your Word in its purity. We want to keep it pure before the people. Help us never to mix our opinions. Help us never to mix our own agendas or our pet doctrine or whatever it would be, Lord. But we want to take all the Word. Lord, if we come up short, then help us quickly admit it, Lord. And may you mold us into what your Word would have us to be. Lord, that's the only way that... Lord, if we claim to have the Holy Ghost, that's the evidence of it, Lord, is that our life will line up with the Word, where we see ourselves falling short, where we see stubbornness creeping in, or pride creeping in, or sin in our life, physical sins, or Lord, just allowing Satan to come in and control our thoughts and constantly thinking negative thoughts or evil thoughts or sinful thoughts. Lord, help us, Lord. Back to the Word, Lord. Help us to get back to you in the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, if the Bible and the prophet didn't teach us it, Lord, help us just to lay it aside, just scrap it, Lord, as somebody's opinion. If we can't see it plainly in the Word, Lord, then, Lord, I don't think it's necessary for us. It doesn't have to be some formula of figuring something out and splicing this with that to make it come up to some conclusion that the prophet never came up with and that we can't find a foundation for in the Scriptures. Oh, God, help us get back to the simplicity of the Word. Lord, we make it so complicated sometimes. People trying to come in and inject all kinds of things and twist it around and make it look like this and look like that. But Lord, help us to get back to the simple gospel. Lord, it brings salvation. It brings healing. It brings the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, it's that original formula that came on the day of Pentecost. Why? Why would we ever substitute that for anything else? Shake our conscience this morning, Lord. Shake our souls. Shake us to the core, Lord. Help us to get back to the simplicity of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen. Let's sing it together this morning. Oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire to be like Him.
Stand and sing it together this morning. Oh, if you could see where my Jesus brought me from, where I am today, you'd know the reason why. Oh, I love him so. Is this your desire this morning? It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see this way. See, I too once was so lost. Oh, thank God I found this way. Oh, and it's my desire, oh, to be like him. Oh, why don't somebody worship him this morning? Oh, if you could see. Oh, look back where he brought you from. Look back to that old place that he found you at. Oh, to where we are today. Then you will see the reason why I love it. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, you can see all the riches, all the fame, all the popularity. Oh, I don't. Worship him this morning. Oh, if you could see. Look back down my life's road and see where he's brought me from, where I am today. Oh, you know the reason. You know the reason why. Oh, why we give our life for it. Why we give our praise to it. Why we worship. Riches, his dogmas and man-made creeds, hybrid religions, I don't care about all that. Oh, it's my desire. Yes, Lord. Oh, my King. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, it's already done. Way this morning, I shall overcome. Oh, I shall overcome. How are you going to overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I shall overcome, and I'll praise His name. My battle is over. If you got sickness in your body, can you sing it this way? Oh, Nobody even laid hands on me, but his word said I'm healed. I'm already healed. I accept it standing here this morning. Oh, that battle is over. My family is sealed. It's already done. Oh, I know it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. It's been good to be in church. Good to be in his presence. You say, Brother Nathan, I don't agree with some of those things. Well, we're trying to keep the word before the people. Amen. And I'll ask you this. Some people, they go and they begin to read stuff on the internet and they question this and question that. If it was so wrong, then why did God produce such a mighty thing along with it? Amen. Where else can you find? I'm not talking about this church, but I'm using it as an example. The things that we've seen God do in the last few weeks, the special meetings and these services after, where do we see that being produced outside of this message? We see it at other churches in the message. Amen. Now you might see shouting outside of the message. You might see running. You might see jumping. You might see speaking in tongues. But what does it produce after it? What kind of life is produced after it? What kind of signs and wonders is produced after it? Oh, I know people get healed in other churches, even out in the denominational ranks. God honors faith.
Amen.
God honors faith. But when you see the supernatural happening constantly, lives being changed, miracles taking place, not toothaches being healed, but cancers dropping off of people's heads, spines being straightened, signs and wonders following. If it's so wrong, I guess just let us go on. We're happy the way that we are. Amen. I'm satisfied with the portion that God has given me. Amen. God's good. Amen. I don't want to take somebody's opinion of it. Maybe you don't understand some of the things that we said this morning, some of the things the deacons and I have talked about. Maybe you think that's hard or that's legalistic or whatever it be. Our desire is not to be legalistic or to control or lord over you. We don't try to come in your homes and tell you what to do and things like that. But when it comes to this sanctuary, we want to look into the Word of God and see what the best way that we can keep it sincere, an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move. And so we're going to do our best to do that. If you disagree, then please disagree friendly. We'll love you still the same anyhow and hope that you love us. God bless you. Amen. Isn't it good to be in His presence?
Amen.
Why don't we sing this together before we go? Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed for every day that I live. I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed for every day that I live. I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live.
been good to be in the house of the Lord. Sister Stephanie had turned in a thank you that I didn't get to read before the service, so I want to read it to you now. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 1:16. Dear Church of the Open Door family, it would be impossible to fully express the thanks and gratitude my family and I feel for all the visits, phone calls, and texts, meals, gifts, flowers, and most especially for your prayers. It hasn't been an easy journey, but it has been made easier and lighter thanks to the love and caring ways of all of you. May God richly bless each and every one of you over and over for everything you've done and every kindness you've shown. We love you and appreciate you all so much, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Christian love, Sister Stephanie and Brother Nathaniel Duval. We sure appreciate Sister Stephanie and glad that she's back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus before we go.
Yeah. Oh, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Blind, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. Oh, the Holy Ghost of Acts, it's still the same. Oh, you won't leave here like you came. Came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts, it's still the same. Oh, you won't leave here like you.
God bless you, you can be dismissed.
Oh, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, sick or lame, the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Oh, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Oh, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or
Holy.